Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, episode 59. This is a very special episode tonight. I'm going to tell you all why. But first, Lee, tell the people what's up, bro. How you doing?
Yo, what's up, Keys, man? What's going on with you, man? Hey, episode 59, I want to dedicate this episode to Mac Miller. Hey, Mac Miller was probably one of the most underrated MCs in the game. Unfortunately, he passed away on, I want to say it was Friday. They say from a apparent overdose. This drug use thing, young people, everybody has a poison that they pick. Some people pick love. Some people pick bad relationships. Some people pick alcohol. Some people pick drugs. Anything that you pick as your poison, use it in moderation always. Never want to go too far, you know, because things like what happened to Mac Miller happens. You know, we lose way too many young people to senseless crimes. And I think one thing that is going unnoticed is the number of young people dying from drug overdoses. So everybody take care of yourself and rest in peace, Mac Miller.
It's like my whole tone changes when people talk to me about this. Like my coworker was talking to me about this today. We talked about it for a good 10 minutes, and it does end up stemming off into that conversation about, you know, but this could have been. But it's hard for me to do that at the same time. People don't realize it's hard to. I mean, like that's the message, of course. And that's the kind of stuff that I preach about. I mean, all my good friends know that I'm an anti-drugs kind of guy. I don't believe that just because we're alive, you should try all sorts of drugs. That's not the way to live. I believe if you just smoke marijuana, if you just smoke weed, and you just drink a little alcohol, a couple beers, you'll be good. You don't need to try all this other stupid shit. I mean. Do as you please, but I mean, there's no need. Rest in peace, Mac Miller. That's one of my favorite artists of all time, too. I remember somebody had me interview on their show, like as an artist. They wanted to interview Keys and asked me about like how my music career got started and stuff like that. So like I did an interview. I think it was like one of my friend's radio show or something like that, or maybe a podcast episode, and he asked me who had inspired me, who I thought was some of my inspirations to write, and I actually said Mac Miller. I can remember that, and that was probably like 4 years ago at this point. Yeah, I remember saying Mac Miller was like probably the first or second one that came to mind when he asked me like what were my inspirations to start writing. So, man, that is so tough. That's sad to even just talk about.
And it's kind of crazy because when I heard about it, the first person I thought about was you. I was like, damn, I wonder how, you know, because I know Key said, we had did a show earlier, and I think you said one of his albums was in your top five of all time, best albums. And I was like, damn, dog, Mac Miller. I just couldn't believe it at first. I mean, then that thing that really got to me was his age, man. He was only 26.
Yeah. It's I forget which album did I say was in my top albums. I'm trying to think. I mean, I could have said that. I mean, he has a couple albums that I really liked that I listened to for a while. I mean, I really liked his debut album. I really liked his Watching Movies with the Sound Off album. That might have been the one that I said, because that one, I just thought the content was so dope, and like as a full piece, as a collective, it was just so good, man. The content was so good, like it was abstract, it was different, it was creative, it was lyrical. You know, you could tell he really put the pen to the pad for that one. He was really thinking. A very very dope album. And then Good AM was another one that I really liked. Good AM is a dope album as well. Also, if you heard me talk about music before, you would know that I'm a big lyrics guy. And I can pull up lines from a lot of my favorite artists. And off the top, I can remember a couple lines from the last couple of years that Mac Miller had stated in his songs. And it's just, I mean, he had a song where he said, something, I'm just hoping not to join the 27 Club. And when I saw Mac Miller dead at 26, I immediately, like, that line popped in my mind. When he was saying in his song, I'm just hoping not to join the 27 Club. And then he dies
wow.
a year younger. So, and because a lot of celebrities and famous people, there is a trend with people dying at the age of 27, but for him to go a year younger than that after having stated that line in his song. And then there was another line that he said, there was a few bars. I was telling this to my coworker today. He had like a four-bar, it wasn't like no rhyming pattern, nothing crazy. It was just real shit. And like he had this, I think the song was called Perfect Circle on his album called Good AM. It was a two-part song. The second part of the song, the beat changes up. It's called Perfect Circle. And he raps about all his closest friends and the people he loves and his family and not wanting to let people down and wanting to be great. It was like the Mac Miller that I like always respected that was talking in that song. And one of the measures that he had is he says he's talking about himself and how he says like he was about to crash, and he was like they don't want to see me crash. They don't want me to OD and have to talk to my mother about how she could have done more to help me, and she'd be crying saying that she could have that she'd do anything to have me back. He said that almost word for word what I just said. He said that in one of his last albums.
Wow.
And
okay,
that's one of my favorite songs ever from him called Perfect Circle. So if you never heard it, go listen to that. And it's ironic, some of the things that he was saying in his songs leading up to this point, and then for them to have come full circle. It feels like shit. It actually really sucks. But let's dedicate this show to Mac Miller. And I had a couple other. Can't even talk over here. I'm getting emotional. I had a couple other things I wanted to dedicate this show to. But I don't even think I'm going to
okay.
at this point. I'm probably not even going to dedicate it now. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I will shout out the Cleveland Browns. I'm not even really watching much football, but I wanted to point out the Cleveland Browns because they. After having such an awful season last year, I think they won only like one or two games. And then
one game in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so they've been having and so I want to shut them out because they played. I don't know if it was they played the Raiders yesterday, and
Pittsburgh
it was a tie. Oh yeah, they played. Okay, so they tied. So they didn't. So I want to shut them out because they didn't lose. They started off the season without a loss, so they're undefeated. They start the season undefeated and that word, undefeated and
They snapped their winless
yes.
streak because they still haven't won. So the winless streak has been snapped.
Yeah, so shout out to Cleveland Browns and two other things that I want to note about this show. So in the description, I wrote, tonight is a special show tonight for a special occasion. Pour up a glass of champagne and vibe with us. Now, I don't even think Lee knows why I even tell y'all right now, and the reason is because
I have an idea.
Yeah, so tonight is the 1 year anniversary of Lee and Key's Real Talk show. It was
for a year.
Yeah, so this is the 1 year anniversary show, and it was actually September 9th, so it was yesterday. It wasn't this day last year, it was last night. of last year. So it was yesterday last year where we went on the air for our first episode ever.
Damn, that's kind of dope. I didn't even know. I thought at least the site would like send us an email if I'm saying this is your anniversary or something. But damn, man, it's been a year. I don't know why I was thinking that we went on October, November, but we actually did throw it out there to each other around about July, August. And then, yeah, all right, 1 year anniversary, man. 59 shows. We should have made it an even number, though. We should have at least made it 60. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We're rocking, though. We're rocking.
Yeah, it's funny because this episode actually was supposed to be 60, but I think we got a little mixed up with the numbers at some point, and it ended up being 59. But like like the site told me that this was episode 60, but it's actually 59 because we like screwed up somewhere, and I don't know, our accountant missed the number when he was typing. So
shout out to our accountant Harry Weinstein, non-existence.
Yeah, that's shout out to Rodney. Rodney's punching on numbers over there in the office right now. So,
shout out.
So, now there's this. I don't know if this is really a shout out, but I'm just gonna shout it out, and I might start shouting, which might be a good thing because, you really got me like really choked up with talking about Mac Miller, and like me even just talking about those lines. Got me really choked up. I almost had to really pause and like walk away, go take a breather. Like that really had, it really got me going for a second. But
and
I might
people,
have to really
just so you know, but just for our listeners, just so you know, as of late, we really don't conversate to each other about what we're gonna say on the show. You know, we just get up here, we just freestyling it, and he didn't know what I was gonna say in the intro. I knew what I was going to say in the intro. I knew it since probably last Friday after I heard the news. So I ain't mean to bring that out your keys, but, you know, man, sometimes it's hard to see our heroes go, man. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, life goes on for you. You know, his music will live forever. So, hey, it's all good. So what you want to talk about tonight?
Okay, so the thing that I wanted to say is that Lee went absent this weekend. He went into hiding.
Oh, man. Why you lying to the people, man? Why you lying to the people, man?
So, on Saturday night, the co-main event of the UFC card, UFC 228, the co-main event got dropped off the card because what's her name?
Nico couldn't make weight.
Yeah,
she couldn't
Nico
make weight,
had,
and she got sick.
Yeah, she had to go. I thought I heard something about like her kidneys or something like that. Like, you know,
yeah, so
like
she had a
her.
Kidney ailment.
Yeah, and she had to be hospitalized. So the champion had to be hospitalized, was a no go. And the challenger actually weighed in, and she was ready to fight, but I imagine they just didn't have anybody for her to. They didn't have anybody to fill in for Valentina Shevchenko to fight. Probably not expecting anything was going to happen. And then they ended up. So that fight was canceled, and then they came out saying that they had stripped Nico Montano of the flyweight belt. So now that belt is vacant. And honestly, I think they should do – I feel like that division just isn't good enough for Shevchenko. I feel like she's way too experienced for, like, everyone there. So, I mean, I threw this out there, and some people that I said it to already shot it down, but, like, I still think it'd be a good fight. I think they should have – I think Joanna should move up in weight and fight Shevchenko for the vacant title. I feel like that's by far the best match for her. And the biggest challenge. And it would probably, even with her going up in weight, I think she would still do better than all those girls. Doesn't mean it's a fact. That's just my theory. I think that'd be a good, intriguing fight. And I think it would sell a lot of pay-per-views because people love Joanna, especially if she moved up to fight a different weight class. People would eat that up because Joanna, I feel like, was a beloved champion. A lot of people really enjoyed seeing her with the belt because of her personality and stuff, and plus her competitiveness and her skill, his skills, obviously. But the point of why I was saying this was because the co-main event got dropped out, so the main card was lacking a little bit because it was missing, you know, one of the two title fights. But it's all good because the one title fight delivered to the most extent, to the point where Lee had to go into hiding for like 24 hours. I was worried that he was like not okay. I didn't know what happened to him. He was unresponsive. I think he went into a state of shock by the beatdown that Darren Till received. He went into a state of awe, and he might have actually been frozen for that whole entire period. He could not reach his phone because he couldn't move his hands because he was in amazement at the masterful performance that Tyron Woodley put on, the demolishment of Darren Till. You know, I don't even think Darren Till even landed a strike on Woodley. I don't even think he connected once in the fight.
Well, it was 74-1.
Once in the fight, be honest.
It was 74-1 according to the original stat, official stats. It was 74-1, and to be honest, I don't even remember the one. But just to defend myself, no, I did not go into hiding. I thought Darren Till was gonna win, and then I switched my pick right before the main event. It's just something about the way when I heard the pregame hype show that they do, and it was something about how calm Woodley seemed, and the way he was talking about how he had to learn different things due to his injury. And that made me switch over to him beating Darren Till. I was shocked the way he beat him because he beat him by submission, even though I thought he could have finished him the strikes. But Darren Till is a tough guy. He took about, between punches and elbows, he took about 20 consecutive shots. And he hung in there. But it was a definitely a dominating performance by T. Wood. I think his next opponent they probably going to get him is Kobe Covington. We'll see how that goes, see what not see what the UFC does, even though I would rather see Usman fight Covington and then the winner of that fight, T-Wood, and then how T-Wood fight RDA in the interim, you know, so that way the division ain't being stagnant. But, you know, it was a great win by T-Wood. I mean, something that was said about him earlier in the fight day kind of rubbed me the wrong way is when the lady asked, I want to say it was Megan O'Leary. She does a great job. She was interviewing Dana White, and he said they asked him about the fight, and he was like, well, Darren Till is the next new star on the horizon. And then the interviewer said, why isn't Tyron Woodley a star? And he said, I want to say verbatim, or that Tyron Woodley could be a star if he would start shooting himself in the foot. And I'm sitting up here thinking, what did Tyron Woodley do to shoot himself in the foot? He defended the belt against everybody y'all put in front of him. He does the TV show, UFC Tonight and the UFC pre- and post-fight shows. What has he done to not warrant the company pushing him? So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I got one more comment, on the women's division. The women's division, in my opinion, Keys, they have four divisions right now. They should only have two. They should have a 140 and a 120. Because they have 115 and 125, 135 and 145. I think the 135 and 145 division can be put into a 140 division, and that'll still have good fights. And then if you put the 125 and the 115 division together, you'll still have good fights. I mean, to me, it's just not enough women to have four divisions. And it makes it so that sometimes we watch the pay-per-views, we looking at the ladies. I mean, we might know, the champ and maybe the second and third ranked fighter are, but we don't know who the fourth and fifth ranked fighters are. And I think if you were to create two divisions, I think you'll have better fights, and I think it'll be more competition. It'll be more, you know, people that aren't MMA women fans. I think it'll grab them more if you have more exciting fights by combining the two divisions, combining the 115, 125, and the 135, 145. That's all I got. And no, I wasn't in hiding, man.
Well, I like what you're saying, though. I think that's a good idea. I mean, fighters are asking to have the, because you know how, like, the men are asking for the 165-pound division. I actually watched for, because, you know, they're trying to go every, like, I think somehow it would benefit more if it was every 10 pounds. If you want to do that many divisions, make it be every 10 pounds so you're not, like, for the women is a different scenario because just the lack of talent is just overwhelming. But, yeah, that just sounded really backwards. The lack of talent is overwhelming. Wow. Okay, so.
Well, what you mean to say is that there isn't enough talent to support four weight classes.
Yes, like the absence of something is actually overwhelming by what is that, by the volume that is actually not present.
Okay.
Hey, so look, what the problem is that I just got done writing an article for the newspaper, and I was sitting there for so long, like, people think I'm just, like, typing away, writing the story, like, no, I sit there and, like, really, like I'll write, like, half a sentence or, like, one sentence, and I'll just sit and, like, debate, like, oh, should I say this word or say this word or, like, flip this, and how does this sound, like, it's almost like I'm editing before the editor gets to edit it. So I feel like my mind is kind of working in that way right now still because I just spent, like, you know, a good 2 hours, maybe more, just, you know, going through my writing and like, almost pre-editing myself as I was going. So my mind's, like, you know, thinking of wacky things to say. And I say wacky things.
That's
anyway,
okay.
But it's just a little bit more.
I think we know what you mean. There is enough time to support four weight classes, but go ahead, man.
What you said is a good point too, because it would make for such more interesting matches. I mean, especially since now, like, every division wants to combine because every champion wants to either go down or go up to get that belt. So, and people are intrigued by the champion versus champion fights, not realizing that you could have high caliber fights not for a belt, just doing the same principle that you're already doing. Just have them fight in that division. You can have the champions fight, but imagine putting a super fight on the same card, not for a belt, just two guys that you would have never been able to see fight because they were in different divisions. Like, I think those fights would be extremely interesting. I think they would be, it doesn't put the UFC in a box where, like, they, okay, we only have so many matches that we can make because, like, these are the only guys in this division. Like, there's a lot of guys, but there's not a lot of guys. Like, people that people want to see, like, it's, some of these fighters are boring. Some of these guys are inconsistent. You know, they don't always put on a good performance. They have a great performance, and then they have an awful performance. Like, you never know what you're going to get. So, you know, the few guys that are in each division that people, they know are consistent, and you know they're going to, like, put on every time they fight. Kind of like, you know, Alexander Gustafsson does. He's a pretty consistent guy. Too, but anyways, like, my point was just that imagine being able to have, like, Gustafsson is at light heavyweight, and then they were talking about having Gustafsson fight Rockhold, and he's a middleweight. That was already an intriguing fight right there. I feel like that fight being on a pay-per-view would have been a big pull, a big draw for fans right there, because that's a fight you would have never would have had access to seeing, because Rockhold is at middleweight. So I like
that. Yeah,
like,
but I think Rockhold was talking about going up to light heavyweight, though. He was talking about going up to light heavyweight when he lost to Romero, and DC had fought for the heavyweight belt. He said if DC had won the heavyweight belt for Stipe, he would think about moving up to 205 since they wouldn't be in the same division. So, but you know, it's kind of funny how guys always try to, let me see, I ain't going to say manipulate the system, but guys want to move up and down in weight to fight, you know, somebody else. And my thing is, with Rockhold is, there are plenty of fights at the 185 that you know that he still has before he tries to move up to 205. But the 205 division is real weak right now. So, I mean, you got a couple names, but as far as, you know, strong talent, if you look at the top 10, there's probably 8 guys in there. You was like, I wouldn't want him to be champ. I wouldn't want him to be champ. The only way he could be champ is by, you know, a lucky strike or kick or something like that. So, but, the 205 division is real weak right now. And the heavyweight division is real weak. I think all 4 of the women divisions is really, really weak. With Demetrius Johnson lose, there is some intrigue in the 125. But I think the Khabib and Conor division right now is the best division in the UFC.
Welterweight's got some hitters, too.
I would have them second.
Yeah, I feel like welterweight is pretty strong. I mean, out of the divisions you have, like, there's not really, like, a crazy amount of talent in every division, but, I mean, there's definitely some guys coming up. You see the beat fight? The beat in Brandon Davis?
Yeah.
Man, you see that submission? I thought he was going to pull a hamstring.
Aljo did that submission earlier in the evening on the prelim show.
Yeah, but I watched, they played it back. It wasn't the exact same, like, position. Like, it was a similar, it was probably the same submission, but it wasn't the same exact, like, way. Like, the way the guy's leg was, like, pulled straight back like that. Like, he was stretching out, you know, his hamstring. They weren't in the exact same position.
But it is
interesting.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the same position, but I think it was the same submission. It was just done 2 different ways. The way both of them put it on, the other person was kind of different. But, man, that shit like it hurt. Woo, that thing like it hurt.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. There was 3, well, right there, that's 3 submission wins in one night. It's kind of like, I haven't seen a card with that many guys win by submission in a long time. I can't even remember a card with that many guys won with impressive submission wins like that. There's not really that often. Everybody now always wants to strike or wrestle. And, I mean, sometimes, yeah, once in a while you see some submission game, but I don't see it that often. Either I'm just not looking for it, or I just never see it. What do you think?
I think you own to something. I think depending on the fighter, like, you know, guys like Mickey Gall, you know, he always looking to submit somebody. You know, who else? Damian Maia is always looking for submissions. So it's just like certain fighters, you know what they looking to do, you know, when they get an opponent to the mat. But as far as, like, outcomes of fights, I would say more fights been going to decision than there's been finishes. So, but, you know, sometimes styles make fights. And when you say styles make fights, when you have 2 guys that fight totally opposite from each other, normally it's going to become a technical fight. And it normally goes to the scorecard. So I just like watching good fights. I don't want to watch, like, Ngannou versus Derrick Lewis. To me, that was a terrible fight. I mean, it wasn't even appealing to the eye. I mean, I probably would have fell asleep. Those all watching that fight, I would say, just to get to the main event.
Yeah, it's I feel like if both those guys did come out like with their usual style, I think the fight wouldn't have went longer than two rounds. Somebody probably would have got KO'd.
Exactly.
Because Ngannou just likes to swing. But then again, man, they're really trying to get Ngannou out of the UFC, man. In fact, I was just talking about this with somebody. He lost to Stipe. He got his soul taken out like Shang Tsung from Stipe. So Stipe still got Ngannou's soul in his body. So I think that's why he gained more power after that, because he's got his soul in his body. By the way, I feel like the next person Stipe fights is going to be bad. I feel like it's going to be ugly. So, Stipe took his soul, and then he was too scared to strike in that fight, what we're saying here. And then now they booked him versus Curtis Blaydes, and he's definitely going to lose that one. He's going to lose badly. He's going to get taken down, and he's going to get dominated on the ground, and that's going to be his third straight loss. I mean, he could get lucky and knock him out, but, like, Curtis Blaydes is a smart fighter. I don't think he's just going to go out there and get KO'd. I really don't think so. He's going to take him down within the first round. He might let Ngannou swing a couple things, let him get winded for a second. He's going to take him down, and he's going to get dominated. That's what's going to happen in that fight. I guarantee it. You know Curtis Blaydes is my guy at heavyweight.
I just think Stipe, if he fights Blaydes, he will use all the fights to be used distance. Don't let Blaydes do what Daniel Cormier did. He let Daniel Cormier close the distance, and Daniel was able to get on the inside, you know, shorten the range. I think against a guy named Blaydes who can take you down basically any time he feel like it, I think Stipe needs to work the jab. He probably needs to work the uppercut, because for Blaydes to get you down, he's going to have to shoot. So you time an uppercut just right, you can catch him. His takedown defense better be in tip-top condition as far as Stipe is concerned, or it'll be a long night for him. It'll be like the Curtis Blaydes takedown show. So, I think that'll be a good fight. I don't think Blaydes wants to stay in the trade with him. So I think Blaydes will try to get the fight to the mat as soon as possible. And I think Stipe wants to stand in vain.
You know, I kind of mixed it up right there. I said, Ngannou's fighting Curtis Blaydes. They're having a rematch. And then Stipe isn't booked to fight anybody right now. But I do think that whoever he does fight next, I think he's going to dominate them.
Yeah, I just think Blaydes going to beat Ngannou. So I'm saying past this Ngannou fight. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Ngannou.
What would happen after?
Yeah, I think Ngannou, though. It just seemed to me like he was still as shocked that he lost to Stipe. First of all, why are you in shock? The guy is a champ. He only has defended the belt like four or five times, so it ain't like he was a chump or nothing like that. And for you not to work on your takedown defense or no wrestling at all, that's your fault as a fighter. You're supposed to be prepared for any which way the fight goes. And any smart fighter, knowing that you are more powerful or your game is better on the stand-up, why wouldn't they try to take you down? So, to me, that was just terrible by his camp and managers, that they wouldn't work on takedown defense or wrestling. And then the fight against Lewis, I still think he's mentally fractured, man. He doesn't want to be wrestled, and he doesn't want to be caught by a punch. So why are you in the octagon? You gotta be willing to give to get. So I think we might see a different Francis Ngannou against Blaydes, but I still think Blaydes can take it down any time he wants to. So we'll see how it turns out.
Well, I thought Ngannou was scared to get tired, so he just didn't throw anything.
I don't know why, but I know that in the UFC, I know that. I don't know why he did, but to me, that's a dumb game plan. What got you to the dance? Do what got you to the dance. I mean, it didn't work in your last fight, but every fighter ain't Stipe. So it's just crazy, man. It's just like with me, you talked about Ronald Rumble Johnson trying to wrestle DC. For real?
Yeah.
We know that, DC can wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. You got to do it. Got you to the dance.
I was so disappointed when I saw that finish in that fight. I just got up and walked out the bar I was in. I was like, wow, that was trash. What I mean to say, you were talking about Dana White before, and I want to go off on this real quick. Honestly, yo, Dana White, you kill me. You kill me so much. And you need to put some respect on T-Wood, okay? This is the most hating guy ever. Like, who do you see the promoter of what fight organization or somebody or in boxing or whatever where a guy is like this, where you just don't like one of your fighters and he has a great moment and you don't even show him the respect? If you look on the – I seen a still of Dana White's face when the judge after the fight was making the announcement. You seen Woodley right there, we're getting his hand raised. Dana White was standing behind him with the stink face. What the fuck is wrong with Dana White, man? He's a hating ass. He's the most hating guy ever, like on T Wood for no reason. He's so mad. So mad because he said that stupid thing before the fight. He was hoping Darren Till would win. Darren Till got dominated. He got utterly destroyed, embarrassed, obliterated, annihilated, killed in the fight. He didn't even land one strike. I think that one strike was just a safe face to say that he landed something, but he really didn't land anything. It was no strike. And he got destroyed. And I saw a YouTube comment earlier, and it was such a beautiful YouTube comment because someone said, they were like, wow, Dana White is such a hater. And what would he be mad at more than seeing his least favorite fighter in a hype train gets absolutely dominated, a guy who he thought was going to be, you know, a star in his company, gets dominated by, like, a guy he doesn't particularly like. What better way for Woodley to just, like, slap Dana White in the face right there with that kind of, you know, performance, like, with those kind of stipulations? Hype Train gets dominated and sent packing by the guy that you don't you want to deny his success.
I mean, that's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous for him. I mean, to me, why are you bringing your personal feelings to the professional side? The only people he ever promote are, be it good or be it bad, Daniel Cormier, Conor McGregor, as of lately, Colby Covington, and that's it. And Cyborg, I'm sorry, Cyborg. And it's like, you should support all your champions. You know, it takes hard work to be a champion in a mixed martial arts division or weight class, you know. I mean, the training, the skills you got to learn, you know, the disciplines, you know, knowing a little bit about each discipline. And I really don't know why he's so mad. What did Tyron Woodley do so mad to make Dana White not support him? I know why he don't like Demetrius Johnson, because Demetrius Johnson has been campaigning for them to get more money. And Dana doesn't like that. And Dana doesn't like the fact that Demetrius is not a big draw as far as pay-per-view. It ain't Demetrius' fault that he make all his opponents look, you know, kind of beneath him, you know, by the way he's been beating them. But, you know, man, UFC, like I said, as long as it doesn't turn into boxing where the fighters start picking and choosing who they want to fight, where they want to fight, I'll still be a devout fan. So, but Dana White, you need to get behind Tyron Woodley, man.
You know what's the surprising thing about me about Colby Covington is that he's not even a star. People don't even watch because of his mouth. No one cares what he's saying. That's the thing that I don't understand here. Where's the disconnect? Dana White, more people are watching Woodley's fights than they're watching, and Woodley's not even barely trying to sell the fight. He barely says a word, and more people are watching it, and he puts on a hell of a lot better performance every time than Colby Covington did. His fight with Dos Anjos sucked, and actually that pay-per-view, as a matter of fact, half the reports said that it did under 150,000 pay-per-view buys. The other half of the reports say that it did about 250,000 pay-per-view buys. Both of those are in like flop range in pay-per-view buys. Like that, neither of those are good at all. Like that's trash is what that is. That's trash. That's extremely low. Like the not even breaking to like 250,000. Okay, you have a 250,000 pay-per-view buys. I mean that it's not good, but it's not terrible, I guess. But at first, the first half saying 150,000. I mean, even 250 in 250 is not star level. Like I'm pretty sure GSP just came back and he fought Bisping. I'm pretty sure that UFC 217 did like 650,000 pay-per-view buys. That's kind of like star power. If Colby Covington was selling like that, then I could see why Dana White wants to back Colby Covington. But he's a flop. You had CM Punk in the same card, another guy that Dana White was hoping was going to be good, and he sucked too. And that was a flop still. That card was stacked. She had Holly Holm on there. Still a flop. So you got to put some respect on it. Dana White.
Yeah.
That's the last stand with that at this point. He's just a hater, and he's salty.
Yeah, and once again,
go ahead.
Me and my man Keys, we dig a little deeper in the people resumes. If you look at Darren Till's record and who he beat, he basically hasn't beaten anybody. So let's be real about that. And then Khabib, he hasn't really beaten anybody. So those 17-0s and 26-0s and all that, dig deep, folks, and see what competition had they fought. Because this is the difference between fighting in the UFC and fighting in your local MMA fight club. So dig a little deeper before you dig into these 26-0s, 17-0s, 16-0s, and somebody on a 7-fight win streak. Just look at who they'd afford.
Well, that's why guys are getting destroyed, because the hype train comes off of fighting in all these other places. And then when you come over here, you get killed. I mean, Eddie Alvarez looked great when he fought in Bellator, and he was like a star in Bellator. And then once he comes to UFC, now he's fighting the best guys in the world, and he's taking losses, like left and right almost. Like he doesn't lose every fight. He's still, one of the best guys in the UFC, but it's a different level, though. Like if he were to go back to Bellator, he'd probably be beating everybody in the UFC, maybe besides Chandler and guys like that. But in the UFC, it's a different level. This is the NFL. You're not playing in the CFL no more. You're not playing in the Japanese league.
Yeah, that's the big time.
This ain't backyard baseball, young boy.
Nope.
This ain't that wiffle ball game you used to have out in the middle of the street. You can't count home runs in a wiffle ball game.
No, you can't. That's why me and Keys, we like to dig into when they start making, when the UFC and other UFC aficionados, when they start saying somebody so-and-so and oh, me and Keys, we go to the receipts. We go see who they done fought. And if you ain't fought anybody, then that old don't mean anything. So don't let the records fool you, people. Do your research. Look into who the fighters has fought. See, see if you can find videos of it on YouTube. But, I think the Darren Till and the Khabib records have got blown out of proportion. I mean, not taking anything away from them, but to me, it doesn't matter until you get to the UFC.
Yeah, and And if Khabib gets, wait a second, I want to say this one thing. So Colby Covington, this is what happened basically. Basically, Colby Covington, he got the interim belt, and then he scrammed and went into hiding, and then said he didn't want to fight. Okay, he talked shit about Tyron Woodley for like a long time, like the whole year, like leading up to that Dos Anjos fight. He was talking the whole year, ever since he fought Damian Maia and beat Damian Maia. I think it was since like the week after that, he was running his damn mouth and making memes and doing all this corny shit all the way until the Dos Anjos fight. Beats Dos Anjos, because he kind of was talking shit at first, but then he kind of fell off because once the fight actually was getting offered, and they're like, okay, Tyron Woodley's back in August, but we want, and he can fight in August, but we're going to have you guys fight in September. All of a sudden, when it really come down to the fight, you know what you did? You don't throw a stone and then hide your hand, Kobe. That's what you did. You threw many stones, and then you hid your hand. You hid your whole body. You hid your entire existence. You're a sad, small, scared man. That's what you are, and you will be smashed. Kobe Covington is going to get smashed and defeated so bad, it's going to be worse than Darren Till. You know why Darren Till got that, what he got? Because he was a respectful competitor. That's why he got that. Kobe Covington is disrespectful. He's going to get beat so bad. He's not going to fight. That's going to be his last fight in the UFC. That's my prediction. It's going to be Kobe Covington's last fight in the UFC because he's going to get beat so bad and embarrassed so bad. Dana White might even have to leave the company too because he's not going to be able to handle it seeing Woodley smash him so bad, and he hopes he can dethrone the king. It's different when you up close. It's different when you up close, Kobe. You ain't ready. You ain't ready for that.
Nah, he ain't ready.
He's going to get beat so bad. It's going to be awful. People are going to be feeling bad looking at his face. You're not going to be able to just clinch Woodley like that, like you did to Dos Anjos. He's not just going to let you hug onto him like a bear. You can't do that. That game plan don't work. You gotta come with more ammo than that, young boy. You're going to be looking like a clown out there. You can't talk shit when you're in the cage. Talking shit only going to get you so far. You can't tweet from inside the octagon. Tweets can't save you. Man, I can't wait till Woodley gets him up out of here. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be so
actually,
beautiful.
I can't wait on it. I think that fight is going to be good, too. Only thing I question is, will Kobe employ the same style that he used against RDA by coming straight forward and being aggressive right off the rip? You know, I wonder what is his style going to be. But regardless of what his style is going to be, I like T. Wood to beat him, preferably by a knockout, maybe a TKO.
I don't think Kobe could take the shot that Till was taking. That's the thing. I feel like if Woodley takes him down and Kobe's getting hit with those elbows, he's going to crack. It's going to be bad for him because Till could take a punch. That's one thing I did see in him. So he could take a lot of shots, and he stays alive. I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, for selfish reasons, I still want to see Usman versus Covington, but I know it's going to be Covington versus Woodley, and I think you'll see Usman versus RDA. I think those will be the two fights that get made with the winner of the latter fight fighting for the belt between Usman and RDA. This year for the UFC probably hasn't been one of their better years as far as fight cards, putting fight cards together, fight cards staying intact. I think one of the reasons is the UFC has too many events. And I think one thing that you said earlier about, you know, having, you know, like you combine the four divisions for the women into two, the fights you can make, those fights could be championship-level fights, and they'd be on fight night. You know, they could be the main event because of the skill level of the ladies and the names of the ladies. And I just, I just think the UFC needs to scale back some of the fight nights, man. You don't need to have, like, you had a pay-per-view. Nah, the week before you had a fight night, then you had a pay-per-view. And then you got another pay-per-view, I want to say October 7th. And I think between October 7th and now, you're going to have another fight card in place. That's 4 fight cards in less than 60 days. I think that's too much.
You say they haven't. You said, what's the time frame? How many cards is it?
Yeah, just remember they had a fight night maybe about a week ago. If not 2 weeks ago, they had a fight night. That was the one with Gaethje on it. They had a UFC fight night with Gaethje on it. Then they just had a pay-per-view with Woodley and Till. Then I think they have another UFC fight night coming up. I think that's the one in Russia. And then they have the McGregor Khabib.
Weekend.
Yeah, then they got the Khabib-McGregor fight coming up October 7th. That's like 4 events in
like
less weeks. Than 60 days. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, that fight card that's coming up this weekend is a bogus card. It is a trash.
Yeah, it's whack.
That's a bogus card. Like I when they pulled it up at the end of the or towards the end of the fights the other night, I was sitting there with my cousin and my cousin-in-law, and we were just looking at the screen like, man, what the hell is that card?
Yeah,
we
man,
were looking
true.
At each other, and we were like, my cousin looked at me, and he was like, yeah, I'm probably not watching that. He's like, I won't even watch that. I'm like, I don't think anybody's trying to watch that. That thing is bogus. That's a garbage card is what that is. That's a dumpster juice. Because you have Mark Hunt is the main event fighting some dude I'd never heard of. First of all, Mark Hunt's in the main event, period. Fighting some dude I never heard of, period. And then after that, the next biggest name that I even never heard of on the card is Andre Arlovsky.
Yeah, he out there too.
Are y'all serious? Y'all serious with
yeah,
that
card? Yeah, he barely made the main card. I think he the first fighter on the main card.
Man, I got to pull up that card so we can look at this. This is terrible. I can't believe the UFC with this card. All right, so you have, Mark Hunt's fighting some dude I never heard of. Apparently, he has 56 wins in MMA. Okay. He's got a lot of wins. Holy shit. Who the hell is that guy? 56 wins, 11 losses? Jesus. This guy's got
that's ridiculous.
70. But it's not in the UFC, though. That's probably just MMA. But still, that's a lot of fights. He's got almost 70 fights. Oh, my God. Well, damn. Mark Hunt's fighting a statue. Okay, so you got Ian Blachowicz or whatever his name is that fought Manua. He's fighting Nikita Krylov. And then Andrei Arlovsky's fighting Shamil, with a long name, I can't pronounce it, but he's the one that Derek Lewis fought, I think, a while ago. And then Thiago Alves is fighting some other guy that I never heard of either. Thiago Alves is still out here? Oh, my God. This whole card is like a bunch of statues. I can't even deal with this. I got to get this out of here. Okay, so Khalil,
the fight cards haven't been that good, man.
Yeah, these fight night cards are bogus. But I did just get some good news right here. Khalil Roundtree's a beast. That once I just seen him get that knockout over my boy Gokhan Tagi. Oh my God, this dude's a savage. And then when you just look at him standing up, he looks like Yoel Romero, but like just you could tell he's younger.
Yeah,
he's got like the same body. I think they're in the same weight class.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you this because I think Adam came up with a few ways. I never asked you what you think about it. You know, I always been for the new guy, you know, promoting the young talent. How do you think the UFC should go about promoting the young talent, putting them on pay-per-view? I think fight nights are the main way to showcase new talent, because that's your way of, you know, you have a, you showcase new talent on a fight night, and then you have your pay-per-view for your established fighters. So how do you think the UFC should go about getting you new guys more, you know, more involved in the promotion?
I don't know. That's a tough call. That's a tough call right there. There's not many options, I guess. Because if you don't know, people don't know whether or not they should watch it. Because they don't really promote cards. I don't even know, like, how it works. Like, people probably attend the events, but, like, the thing is broadcasted on TV. I mean, like, I know they'll make money from it being on TV. Like, I know it all makes money, but I just don't know if they can't, like, promote, like, certain guys. I don't know, like, I mean, I know they get highlight reels. I don't know, like, what's the marketing package here? Like, how are we going to promote, you know, Devin Powell versus Claudio Puelles? Like, how are we going to promote that? Like, what do we do? Like, I'm just, that's one of the fights on this thing. I'm just reading it. Like, that's what these dudes' names, I don't know. Like, it's hard. How do you go about promoting a guy? Like,
Yeah, and that's just it, man, because it's like, I know when me and you break down cards, you know, special pay-per-view cards, it's easier for us to break down the pay-per-view card, the main card, because we normally know who the 8 or 10 fighters are going to be on the main card. But when you start getting to, like, the prelims and stuff, man, I'm like, man, I don't know who this person is, you know. So, but, you know, me and Keith, you know, we want to see new blood. You know, I think it's good for the promotion. I think it gives you a gateway between the old guys to your new guys, you know. It's just one of the things. I just wish the UFC knew how to get us, the fans, behind younger guys. I mean, like Adesanya, you know, I'm behind him because I seen his first fight. And then I know that he was talking trash about the guy he's fighting. His name escapes me right now. But the guy he's fighting, you know, he called him out. But, you know, the only reason I know about him is just because for him, you know, talking trash to another fighter and stuff like that. So, but, you know, I just wish the UFC could, like, definitely come up with a way of promoting the younger talent. You know, maybe get them, you know, a pay-per-view. I guess a pay-per-view, maybe a fight night where, you know, they had the number 8 guy fight, number 10 guy, number 7 guy fight, number 9 guy, stuff like that. So that way we as the fans, we can get behind them.
Yeah, I think we said that before. Yeah, I think we did say that because it's I mean, they try, but it's like, because you need to go kind of further beyond, because, I mean, but then again, it's all politics, because, like, the number one guy won't want to accept a fight with the number 15 guy, or, like, the number one guy won't want to accept a fight with, like, a non-ranked guy, you know? Sometimes we'll see it, but, like, I don't know how often it's the case they want to take the fight. But it would be a good concept, though, to get people to know, because then you could say, oh, I know him because of his performance versus this guy that I do know. I mean, that's kind of how endorsements work in real life. Like, you can't always, like, people aren't always going to want to, like, be introduced. Like, you can't always just, like, you can walk up to somebody and just introduce yourself, but, like, how much easier is it to meet somebody in real life when, instead of you walking up and introducing yourself, a friend of a friend, like someone that's already friends with them, introduces them to you. How much easier is it for that person to, like, bond with you after they've been introduced through someone they already know? rather than you just walking up and introducing yourself. Because it's the same thing with music. Like, when you tell someone listen to an album, how much different is it if you were to see the commercial or, like, some kind of promo, like, for, like, watch a music video? I don't know. Like, what makes you want to listen to the song? Like, what makes you say, okay, how do I trust it? This might be trash. Like, let me just, like, skip it. Because if someone tells you, oh, listen to this album, and they give you a referral, and they say, oh, it's a dope album, then you can get behind it and have a reason to get behind it. Like, Lee didn't need to tell me to listen to J. Cole's K.O.D. album. I probably would have listened to it regardless, but it did help the fact that he was there to, like, give me examples and, like, say which songs I should listen to specifically, because it, like, I can trust his musical opinion enough to where it's like, okay, I know he like, listens more deeply to the music like I do, so knowing that there's that similarity factor, and then having someone I know is a little bit similar to me in that way, referring me, then I can trust this music more, because I know that someone with similar perspective as me was able to rock with it, and then they told me to listen to it, rather than if the album was just there and no one told me, I would eventually listen to it, but it probably wouldn't have been as fast. I can tell you it wouldn't have been as fast because I didn't have it, you know, so it's the same thing with the fighters. Why would we have wanted to watch their fight if, you know, we didn't have someone, like Lee said, have the, you know, a top guy fight like a no-name guy.
Yep, that's the only way we'll know who the no-names are. And then the commentator's going to be like, he overmatched, and they're going to be saying negative stuff about the fight. So, I mean, it's just certain things I think the UFC could get by with, and I think the fight night should be for guys probably in the bottom, probably from like 9 through 15, from like 8 through 15 or 8 through 14, have them guys, you know, on the fight night cards, and then you have the rest of your top 10 guys on pay-per-views. So that way you get to know who the contenders are and who the pretenders are, so. But it'll never happen, though. It's just a pipe dream of mine. So, but if USC, if you do use it, me and Keys are looking for our backstage passes and our media credentials at one of your events if you use one of our ideas.
Yeah, man. They already took some of our ideas, so it's really not a far shot that they would do that. You know, I think it would be a cool what would be a cool thing is if it was, like, one fighter, like, from each division, like if they like went around and they took one fighter from each division, like pull it out of a hat or something, let's just say, and you take like a top 10 fighter from, you know, an out of a hat division and pick this name. Okay, top 10 guy, you have to do like an open challenge kind of thing. Like you have to fight anybody in your weight class, like, you know, whether it's between top 10 and 15, or even non-ranked guys or, like, debuts in your weight class. And then they could make that a fight night main event. And I feel like that would really sell the other person, that the opponent that they fight.
Yeah.
And it would make it interesting
because
then you have a guy that people want to
see. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Totally agree. And I think UFC debuts, especially if a guy has been a top guy in another organization, don't make him fight an unranked opponent. Have him fight at least somebody in the top 15 instead of put him against somebody that he's going to outclass and maybe, you know, it probably won't be a likable fight. Put him against somebody in the top 15, you know, somebody they're comfortable to as far as rankings and stuff like that. But, you know, me and my man Keys, we love UFC, and we are definitely want to be like trying to support and make the product better. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think that you know, us getting those media passes, I don't think that's a far off thing at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're further along than we were last year at this time.
Yeah,
I mean,
man,
let me type this, see what comes up. If you ever want to search our show, just type in Lee and Keys. Like, no RT, doesn't matter, spaces. Just type in all lowercase Lee and Keys on Google, and our link to our channel and a lot of our episodes is the first search result on Google. So, yeah, I think that's dope. And it's not, we're further along than we were before. I think if we would have searched it this time last year, I bet it would not have even came up on the first page. So that's great. And probably would have been on like the 56th page or something like that. But yeah, we want those media passes. We need it.
We definitely need those media passes.
I want a backstage pass. I'm going to interview Tyler.
Well, me personally, I want to be one of those guys that get to go to the big UFC press conference. That's the kind of media pass I want, so we can actually ask questions, you know. Well, they'd be like, you know, you ask a question, state your name and your media outlet. My name is Lee, and I represent Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast. My question is for her. You know what I'm saying?
What would be a question, though? Who would be a first? Well, that's an example. What would be a question?
You know, I would ask Dana White about the women's division. You know, what ways behind the scenes are they doing? What are they doing to improve the women's divisions? Are there really a need for four divisions? You know, I would hard press him on making the women's divisions better.
Yeah, I think that'd be a solid question. I don't know how they would see some of the things that we might say. I don't know how they would take it, but
And I got another issue too. How come?
Yeah.
How come when a fighter gets suspended for PEDs, we always heard the bad side of it? Why do we never hear when USADA has messed up, or, you know, that, you know, it could have been an issue with the testing and stuff like that? Why is it that we never, ever, ever get any background stories on PED suspensions and USADA roles in them? Only thing we ever hear is Brock Lesnar has been you know, tested positive, you saw the suspension for 12 months or 2 years or something like that. Why can't we never get the full process of why the fighter was suspended, you know, what was the chain of events and stuff like that? I think me as a fan, I would rather have, you know, be in the know on that instead of speculate, because I know me and you speculated. I know since we probably – since the DC John Jones fight, as to, they said they tested John Jones all the way up to the day of the fight. Then the night of the fight, they tested him before the fight. And then after the fight, they tested him again and he popped hot. To me, that makes no sense. So, as a fan, I think I want a little bit more information provided by USADA.
Yeah, because that wasn't making any sense when that came out with the John Jones situation. You're right. That's a good point. Forgot about that. Because a lot of people,
yeah, man, you talked about it. Yeah,
they said they tested him at first, and then he was cleared to fight, and then after they tested him again the day after the fight, tested a sample from before the fight and then found out that he shouldn't have been cleared to fight, but he was.
No, they said that before the fight, he did a piss test, and the piss test was straight. And then after the fight, they did blood, and his blood was dirty. And it was like, and then they even broke down the timeline of when they tested him. They had tested him. I want to say they tested him at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon the day of the fight, and then they tested him right after the fight. So I would just want a little bit more information, you know, so that that way shows like ours, you know, we could get more informative opinions instead of guessing and speculating. That way we could go down the timeline and be like, okay, they did this on this day, they did this on this day. You know, there was a window opportunity, you know, la, 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 la. You know, that way we can be, you know, with the fan, we'll have more information to go on.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Anyways, we went a bit of overtime with this episode. You know, I kind of was just trying to read a headline right there that I almost wanted to talk about, but I realized we already went over time like 5 minutes ago. So, or we went over time 5 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago.
What was the headline?
So, it was something that I guess Nico Montano, she came out and made a statement about her being stripped of the belt, and I haven't been able to like find it, but like I see the news, it's from 3 hours ago with the statement that she made. And hold on, I'm going to wait a second and see what they come up with. I'm actually interested to see what she said.
But my thing is her being a champ. All right. From the outside looking in, they said she didn't want to fight Shevchenko. They offered her to fight three times. She finally accepted the fight. For this last pay-per-view, she finally accepted it. So then she knows she has a champion. She's the champion. You are the champion. You're not the challenger. There has to be some kind of professionalism at a champ above reproach. And for her to come in and not make weight, to me, that's a lack of professionalism. You know, I know they said her weight, that her kidneys were messed up due to the weight cut. But if you go about doing your business the right way, we wouldn't even be talking about this. This wouldn't even have been an issue. Because me and you badmouthed Darren Till. We was like, man, Darren Till got to make weight. And he come in 1 pound below the championship level. I was like, wow, this guy's serious. You know, he's serious. And you know, it kind of proved me and you wrong, but, you know, he went about his business. You know, he went about his business as a professional. So.
I'm just trying to see. Oh, I guess Jessica Andrade's offered to fight Shevchenko on 24 hours notice, but the commission said no.
Okay.
Jessica Andrade is a beast, too. She had a crazy knockout that night. I picked her on DraftKings. I totally expected her to win. It wasn't like I was surprised, but it was just like, how quick it happened. Like, I'm pretty sure it was like a minute into the fight, not even. Like, right out the gate,
man,
you could just see.
Yeah,
her
she came out the gate, man. Good Lord. Ooh.
You
she
could
came
just
out
see
the
her
gate like a Tasmanian devil. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, see, that's just the thing. Carolina never really backed her up. I mean, she had a couple punches where, you know, she stung her a little bit. But she never really made Andrade take two steps back. It was like, when people come at you like that, you got to make them feel your power, make them know that you're there. That way they just won't keep charging forward. You know, then they got to pick and choose. Do I want to take a shot? You know, this person might get lucky and clip me. You know, I got to be more careful. And that's the same thing Kobe did to RDA. Remember, he blitzed RDA right from the time the bell rang until RDA caught him in the third round, and I want to say he caught him up at the beginning of the fifth round. And it backed Kobe up a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, we're in overtime, so, you know.
She said,
yeah,
I
man,
almost
you
died
know.
For a company that doesn't even call you to make sure that you are alive. That's what it says. That's not like an official thing.
Oh,
someone
damn.
Someone like re-quoted it. Yeah,
well,
it says, I almost died for a company that doesn't even call you to make sure that you are alive. I mean, I read somewhere that said that she, like, almost went into cardiac arrest. Like, I mean, if she had a pretty serious, I mean, not make it wait is one thing, but I feel like actually not okay. I mean, this, yeah, you'd be mad they didn't make weight. I mean, it ain't professional, but at least have sympathy for the fact that the person's, like, not in good condition, like, and they can't. Kind of like Holloway. Like, he tried to make weight,
but,
and then he ends up having other health issues because of trying to make weight. So, like, you got to fail for him. He's trying.
But the thing is, though, Keys, who kept the UFC in the light? The UFC talks to the manager. The manager is the UFC linked to the fighter. The UFC basically, if you ever listen to their reports, they rarely say they talk to the fighter unless Dana goes and check on the fighter himself. Normally, it's always the UFC communicating with the manager. So for her to say that, I don't buy that because her managers are the one that told the UFC that she required to be hospitalized, and then they the ones that told the UFC what the ailment was. So no, I'm not buying that the UFC doesn't care about the fighter.
Yeah, it's no, I understand. I see it. Yeah, we went over time to about 15 minutes ago or something like that. Thank you everybody for calling in. I know we dragged out, and I think your boy Keys got a little bit tired over here, so I'm kind of like looping in and out. It's kind of been a long day. I'm about to like knock out in like 5 minutes. Lee, shout out to a good show. This was dope. Thank you everybody for calling in. And, you know, we always say stay positive and think about the things that Lee was telling us earlier. You know, I'm not going to go back into it and repeat it, but, you know, if he wanted to, that'd be fine. Lee, if you have any last words for them, that'd be perfect timing. Time is now.
No, I don't have any last words. Like always, in closing, take care of each other, love each other. Let's make this world a better place. And Lee and Keys, real talk.
That's it. That's a wrap. Over and out. Call in 917-889-3251 to talk with us anytime. Thank you for a first very good on the air. We appreciate everybody who supported us over our first year on the air. And I look forward to another year on the air. So we'll see y'all for like episode 118, you know, next year for the 2 year anniversary show. All right, then, see y'all over and out. Lee and Keys, have a good night. Stay real.
Peace.